This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, February 5th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Hydrogen Committee eyes digesters. Ag water use largely efficient. And border security takes top billing this week. Bennett to lead Hydrogen Committee. Days after his hydrogen bill died, Assemblymember Steve Bennett of Ventura assumed leadership of a new select committee dedicated to building a zero-carbon hydrogen economy. Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas established the committee to identify policies for decarbonizing California's hydrogen production. Rivas noted that the federal government plans to invest billions into hydrogen and said the committee will seek to maximize those dollars. Now, remember, Bennett had unsuccessfully attempted to bar hydrogen producers from using biomethane derived from dairy digesters. He referred to that legislative push as a learning experience from working with, quote, an incredible group of stakeholders to evaluate policies. That process was invaluable with a topic as complicated as California's hydrogen future, he said. I'm grateful to the hardworking stakeholders. Now keep in mind, the role of dairy digesters remains uncertain. After AB 1550 failed, Senator Josh Becker of Menlo Park took up the mantle with a measure proposing to incentivize hydrogen production through electrolysis, a more expensive method. Farm water use is largely efficient, but climate impacts loom. A new report by the Department of Water Resources concludes that agriculture water use is, quote, largely efficient. Irrigation districts and certain other ag water suppliers are required to implement efficient water management practices and submit their plans to DWR every 5 years. DWR then reports to the legislature on those plans. The 50 plans represent about 37% of irrigated land in the state. The suppliers reported water use efficiencies of 75 to 104% depending on their calculations. But the administration has been warning that the state will, quote, lose about 10% of its water supply in the next 20 years due to climate change. According to DWR, the ag water plans have few requirements for assessing such impacts. Next. Well, the department is recommending that lawmakers fund more research to study how higher temperatures and changing hydrology will hurt crops and influence planting decisions. It is also urging the legislature to set up new requirements for ag water suppliers to incorporate robust supply and demand projections within their plans as well as infrastructure needs. Fish and Wildlife says no to listing of wolves in western states. The Fish and Wildlife Service has rejected petitions to list the gray wolf as endangered in the Rocky Mountain states and throughout the western U.S. The service said in a 12-month finding that the northern Rocky Mountain population, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the eastern third of Oregon and Washington, and a small portion of north-central Utah, does not qualify as a listable entity because wolves there are not markedly separated from populations outside that boundary. The service also concluded that in the western U.S., now and into the foreseeable future, wolves are likely to retain a healthy level of abundance. Environmental groups say they were, quote, looking carefully at today's notice and evaluating legal options. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. USDA. Only 11% of Hispanic farmers get subsidies. A new study from the USDA's Economic Research Service details the differences between socially advantaged farmers and white producers when it comes to farm programs. According to the report, 34% of white farmers get government payments versus 11% of Hispanic producers and 21% of other socially disadvantaged farmers. But while white farmers are also more likely to hold loans from the Farm Credit System, there isn't much difference between white and socially disadvantaged producers when it comes to the amount of money they borrow. By the way, farms operated only by women are likely to be smaller than jointly operated farms and men-only operations. The average value of production for a woman-only operation is just under $28,500 versus nearly $160,500 for joint operations and just over $209,000 for men-only farms. Women-only farms are more likely than men-only operations to specialize in field crops rather than grains and livestock other than cattle. Border security, foreign aid eclipse tax legislation. The border security issue moves to the forefront this week in Congress, overshadowing the House-passed tax bill. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York has teed up action on a supplemental spending package that will include aid for Israel and Ukraine, as well as border security measures worked out by a small bipartisan group of senators. House Speaker Mike Johnson, who has been slamming the border security plan for weeks ahead of its release, is countering the Senate move by pushing a bill that would provide aid only for Israel. Yesterday on Sunday's Meet the Press, Johnson said, quote, "We cannot wait any longer. The House is willing to lead, and the reason we have to take care of this Israel situation right now is because the situation has escalated, of course." Johnson flatly denied that former President Donald Trump was directing his opposition to the border security measure. He said, quote, "I'm the one calling the shots for the House." Tax bill prospects? Well, Republican critics of the tax bill that passed the House overwhelmingly last week, demanding the chance to at least debate amendments to the legislation. It can take weeks to negotiate agreements in the Senate on what amendments that will get votes. Also this week, on Wednesday, the USDA released its first farm income forecast for 2024. If it shows another drop in farm earnings, that report could increase political pressure on Congress to move a new farm bill. For more on this week's D.C. agenda, you can read our Washington Week Ahead. FDA looks to roll back policy on animal food additives. The Food and Drug Administration Center for Veterinary Medicine plans to withdraw a 26-year-old policy that directs the agency to regulate certain animal foods like it would drugs, that according to a recent letter it sent stakeholders. The agency is looking to roll back a 1998 policy, the American Feed Industry Association says, subjects certain feeds to, quote, lengthy drug review procedures rather than more suitable ingredient review processes, needlessly prolonging the evaluation period and, in many cases, stops companies from seeking product approval in the United States. The FDA, in its letter, also said it was, quote, working with Congress and seeking new legislative authority to regulate animal food additives that, quote, may affect the microbiome of the animal, affect the byproducts of the digestive process, or reduce pathogens in food products made from the animal. FDA said it's aware the animal feed industry is interested in bringing to market animal food substances that act solely within the gut of the affected animal with scientifically substantiated claims related to animal production, animal well-being, food safety, and environmental benefits as animal food. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, February 5th, brought to you by Robo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.